Christmas Village.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Janine. It's beautiful. Thank you, Linda. Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 7 through 20. You can find it on page 933 in the Pew Bible, or you can read along on the screen behind me. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in the bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this holy word.
Some of you know that my wife Linda collects nativity scenes. Now, I define a nativity scene as having Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in it. Many nativity scenes include the manger. Many have shepherds standing alongside. Some have animals. Some have a star overhead. Some even have the wise men, although they probably were not there when Jesus was born. We're told that the wise men came later when they were living in a house. But they're a part of the story, and if a nativity scene includes the wise men, I'm okay with that. Now, we have two beautiful nativity scenes here in our church. One is out in the foyer on that round table, and the other one's on the back table here in the sanctuary, and both of them were given by longtime members of our church. The one in the foyer on the round table used to belong to Angela Sweeten's mother, Jerry Carpenter. And she was generous enough to donate that to our church. The one on the back table here in the sanctuary belonged to Jeanette Robinson. And both the one on the round table in the foyer, the one on the back table here in the sanctuary, are beautiful depictions of the nativity story, with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the manger, the shepherds, the animals, the wise men. But they probably are not accurate representations of what the scene was really like. I don't know if any of you have been in a barnyard lately, spent much time around animals, but it's usually a pretty dirty, smelly place, not very hygienic, not as pristine as these beautiful nativity scenes that depict the story. And probably that scene was a little bit more down to earth than what we think of when we think about the nativity story. But I'd like to focus this morning on the morning after Jesus was born, when the song of the angels was stilled, when the shepherds had come and gone, when the pains of birth were past, when Mary and Joseph were there, probably only the two of them, watching Jesus in the manger. And Luke tells us that Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. And my guess is that on that Christmas morning, Mary and Joseph were in a reflective mood. The commotion of the night before had passed, the shepherds had come and gone, the angels were still. My guess is that they were in the quiet moments of dawn's early light pondering what the birth of Jesus really means. And that's what we are left to do on this Christmas morning. The commotion of last night is past, as wonderful as it was. And in this quiet time of reflection, we are left to ponder what the coming of Jesus means for us. And I want to suggest some things, at least to me, that the nativity scene and the Christmas story mean. First, notice the circumstances of his birth. Jesus was born not in a palace, but in a stable. Not in earthly riches, but in earthly poverty. You catch that part of the story? He was laid to rest in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Can you imagine the desperation they must have felt with no place for the baby to be born and taking refuge in a barnyard? I think that was a precursor for the kind of life that Jesus would lead. He would lead basically a life of poverty. Later, as an adult, Jesus would say, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And as far as we know, Jesus never had a home. As far as we know, he lived a very humble life. Also, remember when Jesus began his public ministry, he went to the synagogue in Nazareth and he read from the prophet Isaiah, and he read that passage that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to let the captives go free." And when you think about it, that was like Jesus' mission statement, for he said, "Today this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing." That is what Jesus would do for the rest of his life. He devoted his life to what he called in his parable the least of these, the lowly, the downtrodden, the sick, the disenfranchised, the people that nobody paid much attention to. Jesus had a heart for all people, but he especially had a heart for the lowly. And he devoted his life to ministering to the least of these, the people that nobody else cared much about. Well, as I think about Jesus, the lowly circumstance of his birth, the fact that his birth was announced not to King Herod, not to the chief priests, not to the high and mighty, but to lowly shepherds at work in the fields by night. That should be a clue to us what we should be about if we would follow Jesus. We should be about the things that he did, which was to have a heart especially for the poor, the sick, the homeless, the downcast, those that the world has passed by, they should be our focus as we seek to follow Jesus. A second thing that the Nativity story speaks to me as I reflect upon it today, notice that there was a sense of joy and rejoicing at the heart of the story. When the angels appeared to the shepherd, the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And then the heavens just burst with heavenly song as the angel choir began to sing, give praise to God. And we're told that when the shepherds went to see the baby, that they left rejoicing and praising God for all they'd seen and heard. And so there is at the heart of the Christmas story a sense of joy and rejoicing. Now that says to me that the church is more than just another social service agency. Amen. Now yes, we are about ministering to the least of these. We're about following Jesus and caring for people that need our help. Certainly that's a part of our mission, but it's more than that. We're also about celebrating what God has done through the gift of His Son. Think about it. God came down from heaven with a baby in His arms to show us how much He loves us, to bring us to Himself, to reconcile us to Himself, to make us right with God through Him. And so Jesus means that we have a greater purpose in life and a greater meaning in life and a greater joy in life than we could ever manufacture for ourselves. And so joy is at the heart of what we're about. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If that's not a reason for rejoicing, I don't know what is. And so at the heart of our Christmas celebration is joy. Another meaning occurs to me as I think about the Nativity story, and that is, Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring peace between us and God, but He also came to bring peace on earth. And how we need that message of peace today. Our world is riven by strife and hatred and division. Thinking about all the divisions that have separated us, economic divisions and racial divisions and religious divisions and ethnic divisions, political divisions. How we need peace in our world. And Jesus came to bring that peace. And the way He brings that peace is through people like us as we become His peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And that's what we're about. We're about building bridges of understanding with one another. We're about accepting one another with respect and mutual tolerance. And yes, that special Christian word, love. We love our neighbors. We love our enemies. We love one another as God has loved us. And so peace is at the heart of the Christmas story, and peace is at the heart of what we are about as followers of Jesus Christ. About a year ago, my daughter-in-law, Stacy, gave Linda and me a book with a lot of blank pages in it. You've probably seen that kind of book before. It's one that you're supposed to fill out yourself, you know, kind of tell your life story, share some reminiscences, talk about growing up and how your life developed and what have you. And to be honest about it, I was not interested in filling out the book. But every time we see Stacy, she would remind us about that book she'd given us, kind of gently prod us to get to work on it. And Linda started gently prodding me to do my part in the book. And so about a month ago, I took a couple of days and I took the book and I began to fill it out, at least my part of it. And then I gave it to Linda for her to fill out. She's done that now, put some photographs in it, and the book is ready. And the idea was that one day our granddaughter Ford will have that book to read and to reflect on and maybe to learn some more about her grandparents through the book that we've prepared for her, our kind of our life story. But the way the book works is it's basically a series of questions that we answer. And one question in the book was, what is the best gift you've ever received? And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, the best gifts I've ever received are people. My wife Linda, our daughter Amy, our son Mark, our daughter-in-law Stacy, now our granddaughter Ford. The day that Linda and I got married was one of the best days of my life. I can still remember little four-year-old Amy walking down the aisle ahead of her mother. My heart was lifted up. And the day that Mark was born, or the night that Mark was born, was one of the best days of my life. I can remember we were together at Holy Cross Hospital in Silver Spring. Linda was in labor. I was with her while she was in labor. And then when they wheeled her into the delivery room, I went into the waiting room. Back then, the father wasn't always present for the birth, like today. And so I'm in the waiting room. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And the hospital can be a really quiet place at 3 in the morning, especially if you're in the waiting room. And I waited for what seemed like an eternity. Started getting a little nervous, a little anxious about it, all by myself. And then finally somebody came out and said, your wife and your son are fine. And I rushed out of the hallway and I turned the corner and there they were lying on a gurney in the hospital corridor and my heart was lifted up. Another best day of my life was when Mark and Stacy got married. That was a few years ago in New York City, a garden in Manhattan. And they didn't ask me to conduct the ceremony, but they did ask me and Stacy's father to say a few words. And so I got to say what I would have said had I conducted the ceremony. And my mother was there. Amy was there. Of course, Linda and I were there. Stacy's family was there, and my heart was lifted up. And then about 18 months ago, Mark called us kind of late at night and said that Stacy was in labor. And he asked, do you want us to call us when the baby's born, even if it's the middle of the night? Duh. Call. So we went to bed, and he called us, I think it was about 3:30 in the morning. You know, we were dead asleep when he called. And he said, Stacy was fine, the baby was fine. We were just so elated. And then he told us the baby's name, Ford. They named her Ford after, that was Linda's maiden name. Linda Ford was her maiden name. And at 3:30 in the morning, Linda and I sat on the side of the bed and we just cried. Tears of joy. Well, my guess is there were some tears of joy shed that morning that Jesus was born. Because Jesus was the best gift that Mary and Joseph had ever received, and Jesus was the best gift that those shepherds had ever received, and Jesus was the best gift that the world had ever received. And so on this Christmas morning, we reflect upon what the birth of Jesus means. And it means that we have a mission to care for the lowly, the downtrodden, the sick, the poor, the hurting, the people the world passes by. And it means that we have a joy that's in our hearts that cannot be extinguished by whatever life may bring. And it means that we are called to make peace in the world, as God has given peace in our hearts. And it means that we have received the best gift we'll ever be given. One of my favorite authors is Howard Thurman. He was dean of the chapel at Howard University. And he wrote a poem. He said, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star and the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, The work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. Merry Christmas. No, it's better than that. God is with us. Rejoice. The Savior is born. Our Father, our hearts are lifted up as we reflect upon what this day means. You gave us the best gift we will ever receive. And it's a gift that will be with us now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song. It's one of those hymns that is most appropriate on Christmas Day. Hymn number 122, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who wanted to unite with our church, profess your faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism, or maybe you would want to join our church having already made that commitment to Christ. We'd invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing 122, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide upon us all now and forever. Amen.